From Deep Inside the Death Star, I'm Andrew Richards, and this is Defrag Tools, part two of a little series on how to write a debug extension using C# rather than C++. We're using CLR DLL to make this, and we're kind of using some special NuGet packages to achieve the goal. What we're going to do today is take it a little bit further. Last week we got to the point where we had exports in the project and that you could do anything that you could do in C++ with iDebug Client. Now what we're going to do is we're going to start leveraging some of the CLRMD abilities and go a bit further and asking about what the CLR side of the target is doing. I've got a second project here. It's available on the OneDrive. Feel free to download it. The third project is also there. Last week I said it's going to be three episodes. This may run a bit short, so I might compress episodes two and three together today. We'll see how we go. I'll watch the time as I track through and maybe just only have two episodes in this series. So far what we've done is get these exports. And what we're going to do is one more today that's about the runtime itself. It's designed to show you how to boot the runtime and to investigate it or to interrogate it. So what we're going to do is we're going to slightly change our constructor. And so before we just got an mClient out of this thing, which is an iDebug client. What we're going to do is generate two more local members, a CLR runtime and a data target from the runtime. The data target represents like the dump file, and the runtime represents, say, like CLR version 4 within that target. You can have multiple runtimes within an app. We're only choosing the first one that we find in this case. It's one of those things that you just need to accept that you could have a variable result. So the first step in the constructor when we passed in that pointer was to get the iDebug client. Nothing's changed there. We do some clever marshalling with iUnknown. And then we also do some clever magic that makes the output stream of console go to the WinDBG output stream. What we're going to do next is try to do a runtime check as well. What I'm doing here is running another function that I've written. And in the case where it fails, I'm just putting it out to the debug prompt because it's not really one of those things that deserves to go out to the WinDBG user. And for example, if you're attached to a program that just doesn't have the CLR runtime in it, there's no reason to have all this exception spew in their screen. It's really only required in the debug output. So that's why I'm using the debug write line. What does associate runtime do? All right, so based on an iDebug client, you can ask the data target class to make an instance of itself from that interface. That's relatively easy. It doesn't really go wrong. If you have an iDebug client, it is going to work. It's not locked to the runtime or anything. And at this point, the CLR is loaded to run this extension, all those other things. And so all the things about maybe a package being missing or like the DLL is missing on the disk, all that stuff's kind of past us at this point. We're at the point where we're at operational code. And so this is going to inherently work. Just in case this gets code re-entrant wise, there's a check here, not really required. What you need to do is determine what runtime are we going to load. So we do that based on the module list. And so down here, we get the current process we're in. And so that represents WinDBG. It's not about the target. This is about WinDBG itself. And what we're trying to work out is whether MS-DAC core or MS-Core DAC works is loaded in the process. DAC core is the engine that knows how to look at the structures of a Silverlight application. And MS-Core DAC works, WKS, workstation, knows how to look at a normal desktop app. There used to be MS-Core DAC serve, SRV, back in .NET 1 and 1.1, but this API only supports .NET 2 and above. And that's something to be very clear about. CLRMD is capable of debugging .NET 2, 4 and higher engines, even though itself is compiled in .NET 4. So it's not locked to the framework that it itself is compiled for. The other thing it's not locked in is SOS. SOS and CLRMD are parallel to each other. They both get invoked by the debugger, and then they call down into MS Core DACWorks to achieve the goal. And so in this solution, you don't actually need SOS available. What happens when is once we found the a module within WinDBG that represents MS Core DACWorks, then based on the file name of that on the disk, which is a fully qualified file name, we try to make a runtime based on that. So that might be, C:\Windows, .NET framework, that type of path. If that succeeds, we break out of the loop, and then we have the solution. So what happens when it fails, when MS Core DACWorks doesn't exist? So if you open up a dump file that is managed, but nobody has ever invoked any managed code, .core-dll minus L, load, has not inherently or automatically or manually been run yet. And so MS Core DACWorks hasn't been added to the process space yet, hasn't been loaded yet. And that's what this does. We fail to find a module that's appropriate to make a runtime, and then we use the iDebug control interface with the execute keyword, ignore, not logged, all these things are turned on to completely hide the output, and we run a .core-dll load in the attempt to tell the debugger, please load MS Core DACWorks or MS Core DACCore. And then we scan through the modules again, hopefully it being loaded now. So it's kind of like an automatic fix-up of an absence of MS Core DACWorks. And then finally we get to the point where if we haven't been able to do that, we throw a platform not supported exception. I chose this exception name because it kind of represents not quite nicely the absence of the CLR runtime. If you're trying to run this code against Notepad, it's not going to be found, and it's an inappropriate, the target platform doesn't have what's required. It doesn't have MS Core DACWorks. So after all this, you've got a runtime, which means that both data target now points to M client, or the iDebug client, and the runtime has been factoried out of data target to do the work. So because of that, you can now do some magic work. So we've made a command called my runtime just to prove that you got the runtime loaded, and we pass in the pointer. At this point in the constructor, it may or may not have loaded the runtime, but we try anyway. And then we go into our class. Our class goes, well, if you've got a runtime, then I'm going to use it. It specifies a couple of little write lines to the screen. And for a case, just for an example, I chose the app domain member to spit out its name on the screen. App domains is an I list, and so it's done in a for each loop to print it out. So if we look at the runtime, lots and lots of members. And you can drill into lots of things like the number of heaps you've got. You can ask it how many handles, and enumerate all the handles, enumerate all the modules, and all the memory regions used, and lots of things. And we'll go into that next. So let's give this guy compile and run. And we're running against the same application we had last week, .NET 4 application. At this point, nothing's loaded. And so if I try to ask it for the runtime, it's going to come back as blank because it's going to fail. If we look at the output window, you'll see that I caught the exception that I threw on myself and say I'm unable to load the runtime. So what happened was, if we put a breakpoint on this, the constructor came in, we ran associate client, we tried to do associate runtime, and so let's put a breakpoint here, run that again. You'll see that we've got a data target, which is fine. We haven't got a runtime yet. We go through the modules, and then we don't find any. We still have a null. We've never found a runtime of MS Core DACWorks. And then we try to run Core-dll, and do the modules again, still didn't find it. And so we get to the bottom here and throw an exception. Now by running this command, we did a .core.dll, which means that's what we need to do is if you did a look at of the modules loaded in WinDBG, then you'd see that MS Core DAC Works still isn't loaded because it's got nothing to associate with, because there's no runtime CLR or MS Core Works to drive off. So, but if we do a go, the program's now rendered, .NET's now been loaded. Still no SOS loaded, because nobody's done any command to automatically load it. But if we run the runtime, this time we found a match. In this case, it's MS Core DAC Works, and we're going to try to load the file name. There's MS Core DAC Works. Everything's good. We have a runtime, and everything works, which means that when we get down to the command, get rid of all these breakpoints. When we get down to the command, we can now interrogate the object so that we can add that to the watch window, and we can pull this out, and we can see that on the runtime, here's all the data populated, so we can see it's got one app domain. There's the name of it. It's called the desktop app domain. There's the data target. So this represents the IDebug client. So it's kind of like a two-way relationship. Currently, there is two threads. They're both of class desktop thread. And then you can see things like, is this in the GC at the moment? All that type of stuff. And you can see the lock chain and lots of things. So that's kind of powerful and a really good way of, a very quick way of representing a CLR application. So let's get to the next phase of this. And since we've got time, I'm going to merge the next episode in. And we're looking at how much further you can push this. So we've gone from the point where we just had an IDebug client. We're able to make a data target from that, which represents the IDebug client. And from that relationship, make a runtime that gives us the root object that can do everything else for us in the namespace. So the last thing we can do is investigate even further how far this can go. So what we're going to do now is export another function called mystats, mystatistics. This command is designed to tell us roughly the same of bang dump heap minus stat, the thing that shows the statistics for the heaps. And so what I've done is use Lee's link example, LNIQ example, of how to do this. So what we have down the bottom here is a new parameter. And what it's going to do is from the runtime object that we've been able to extract out of the session, ask for the heap, right? And so it comes back as a CLR heap type. And then using this link command as an LNIQ, we enumerate all the heap objects, so there might be thousands and thousands of heap objects. And then we use a let command to find out the type of object. So that might be like system.string or winform.title or something, or some winform thing or something. And then we're going to group them. So that way all of the instances of each of those classes is grouped up. And then we're going to pull out some column information as well. And so we're going to use this let that sums up the get size member or function of the key class. So and then we order it, so it goes from smallest to largest, and then we make rows out of the record set. And so the rows are the name of the key name being the name of the class or the structure. The size, the collective size of how much that's taking in RAM, and then how many instances are making up that size. And so it's a big link query, and then we get that goes all into stats, loop over the stats. If the argument's blank, what we're doing is we're just spewing out every single one. If you type in, say, something like system.string, then if it's a match, we just put that in. So by default, it shows everything, and by argument, it filters it down to the row. So let's run this guy. Now, whoops, he's going to fail to run because we haven't run the executable enough. We opened it and the executable exists, but we haven't got to the point where the CLR has started. So let the program boot a bit, run, make 100 first chance exceptions, and then we're going to break in, do a clear screen, and do a stats, fix the redraw bug. And so that link query has kicked in and has enumerated all this stuff from the heaps, done all the categorization for you, and driven our report based on this simple output. Here's the size of the object, how many instances. So that, you know, this is a 12 byte object and there's one instance. We scroll down, you can see some, the Windows forms. It's not too surprising that there's only one of those found, because, you know, the application only has one win form. When we start scrolling down, you know, there's 16 size Fs and 16 points and system 20 random number generators, and we go down and down and down. And when we get to the bottom, we get to the ones that you normally see, which is a large number of object arrays taking up 41K in this case, 1,500 version objects. So that would probably represent modules or something, you know, 400 strings. And here's the exceptions we made. So when we pressed that button, it made 100 exceptions. We haven't garbage collected yet. I'm hitting this a lot of times, hundreds and hundreds are running. Run the stats. And now, not unsurprisingly, we've now got exceptions. Now, it doesn't mean that the heap, that these are leaked. It means it hasn't been garbage collected yet. And that's where you have to start drilling in deeper and deeper. You know, is GC, is finalized, all these other attributes of the rows, and clarify your queries down to a more finer point. Now, I'm going to repeat what I said last week. CLRMD is beta. It is quite clearly a pre-release version. No guarantees that it will ever get to 1.0. You cannot ring for support. And at the moment, it only has partial support for the entirety of CLR. For example, it doesn't have generic support, for example. Use it at your own discretion. It is out there. It's available on NuGet. It's there for you to experiment with, give feedback. As I also said last week, we are using this MIT-licensed NuGet package called Unmanaged Exports to achieve the export of the DLL, to simplify that barrier between a native application calling you and being actually a unmanaged application, a CLR app, and mangling the creation of the CLR runtime and the insertion of your assembly into the process. So be aware that this is third party, associated licensing is obviously applied, and this Microsoft binary, as I said, is in beta. But read the article, it's in the resources section above. Learn what it can do, can't do. I've shown how to use it as a debugger extension. You can also use it as a standalone application where you attach to a process, and then instead of using MS Core DACWorks to drive the runtime selection, you use this try-get like DAC location out of the array of CLR versions to associate the two. Enjoy it. Do drilling into .NET applications, CLR applications, and see if you can ferret out some of that information that you're looking for. So as always, if you have any questions, comments, feedback, shove them in the show notes below. The source code that I've shown you is in the OneDrive link. Look for it on the main Defrag Tools webpage and also on this episode's webpage. Note that the link did change recently, so don't use the old SkyDrive link, use the new OneDrive link. And if you want to contact us directly, email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. and we will see you next week.